I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Okay, we're down to board president comments. I have no comments at this point. Superintendent comments. Mr. V.
All right, it's been an interesting December. We've already lost a day as a result of water back there at the end of November, and used a couple of snow days. We're hopeful that things calm down a little bit in the weather and water arena over the next few months. Since our last meeting, we had the good fortune of celebrating Thanksgiving, and on a real positive note, Olivia Ruby participated in the local oratorical contest back on December 4th. She went off to the regional competition and won that as well. So she goes on, did an excellent job with her presentation on Alexander Hamilton with an interesting little twist toward the theatrical with her presentation. It was very, very good, exceptionally well done. It was really a pleasure to listen to her performance. this evening we've got the junior-senior high school concert happening right now in the auditorium. And on Wednesday, we have our 4th through 6th grade concert here in the auditorium as well. Holiday recess begins this upcoming Friday. Hard to believe we're sitting here looking at Christmas already. on a couple of other notes, the HOPE after-school program, they are working to get that up and started at the church in downtown Whitehall following Christmas recess. So I've been working with them to get together a permission form for the district to transport a handful of students at this point to the program. That'll begin after Christmas recess. Also, just to formally discuss it with the board, we are looking again at 6th grade moving up the hill for the 2020-2021 school year for next year. Judy has welcomed them with open arms, and Jeff is just crushed to see 6th grade leave. looking at the entire process, 6th grade is really most appropriate at an elementary level, socially, emotionally, behaviorally. It's a better spot for them. in addition, those 6th grade students will lose no services and no supports by making the move. Our 6th grade students would continue to receive math, science, English, social studies, music, band, art, and reading. Those services we would continue to provide departmentalized, similar to the way they're doing it now at the junior-senior high school. So their teachers would move with them up the hill. In addition to the social, emotional, behavioral reasoning behind the move of 6th grade back up the hill, we've also got a space issue. We've got a space issue with the project that's forthcoming, and we've got a space issue overall with all the new classes that are now being offered at the high school over the past 4 years. We need additional space for those classrooms to be offered, space for some of the new art rooms that are being made, the PE facility that's being developed. So it will be a very, very good move for the district, letting those 6th graders go up the hill. Lastly, I just want to make mention one last time and get a final opinion from the board. As I have shared, I had another request from Granville in reference to a potential merger for next school year. When we polled the board before, we discussed not heading in that direction for next year, but they did make an additional request. Granville is looking for a partner for next year, and I wanted to throw that out there to the board one last time so that I can respond to them definitively if this is something that the board wishes to consider for next year. If so, we would need to make those decisions extremely soon, as the section is going to require scheduling to be occurring here in the next few weeks. So That is all I have, and just wanted to get an opinion from the board formally on the potential of a football merger so that I can get back to Grantville officially.
So we're not having a field. What's it going to cost for a field?
Well, the field is part of the project, the reefer. So that was all incorporated in the project. We're actually going to be planning to break ground right around spring recess, pulling out the track and the field. That'll be a year-long process. We won't have the field here to play on next year. So, you know, Keith is working with a couple of other school districts in some spaces locally to look at both practice as well as close to home field if we do choose to play at an off-site next year, whether we have our own team or whether we're playing with someone else.
No rough estimate what it's going to cost.
You know, we really don't have a rough estimate at this point, you know, because he's just started having those discussions with some of the other facilities. Typically, you know, I hate saying this out loud, my guess would be it would cost us little to nothing because we've got pretty good relationships to utilize a field elsewhere.
Minus
so I said typically we could be radically
minus
surprised.
Minus transportation.
It's going to be, you know, whether we merge or whether we don't merge, there will be associated transportation.
That's right. With a merger, we're just going to split.
I didn't get a lot of feedback in regards to whether we wanted to move forward to more discussion or whether we were just going to leave it as is at this point.
I just hate to start at the beginning of the year and start football, and next thing you don't have any, and the kids play a couple games, and next thing you know, you don't have enough to field a team, now you can't play. Correct?
It's possible.
You know, and that's...
Do you know, I know there are certain sections of this state that have put a lot of effort into eight-man programs, because this is a common problem. Do you know, or could we ask if there's been any discussion within Section 2 about going to an eight-man program?
There has not been.
There has not been. There's been no
not
will
section
or
two.
Interest in Section 2.
So it's been discussed and there's no interest?
Yes.
Mostly out west.
Yeah, it's been out west. The solution to the waning interest in football has really been you're seeing two and three different school districts merge together to keep the program alive. Section 2 really has not had specific interest in moving to eight-man football.
The other question I had was with regards to classification. So if we, I don't even know if this is possible, but can you offer, let's say students at Hartford, they don't have a football program.
Right.
Can we offer football to them?
Yes.
It would be a one-way merger. They would come and play football with our kids. Is that something that
they
we could do? And if we did, how would that affect the classification?
The likelihood is we would not move.
No,
because
would not
we
move.
Will be next year the smallest D in the Ds. So we could absorb probably you know, any one of the smaller schools that don't have football without impacting classification. You know, the issue, because I have broached this subject with two other superintendents that don't have football, it's the cost that's scaring them off. You know, sharing the costs of, you know, coaching staff, sharing the cost because they would need to buy equipment. We wouldn't have potentially enough equipment if they had their own. You know, it's a fear. Football is a very pricey sport.
We talked about that.
But yes, to answer your question, you could merge with the school without impacting our
have we had specific discussions, say, with Hartford?
I have had conversations with two different superintendents, and the responses were not positive.
Okay. If no interest from Fort Ann, even if we're not asking to play soccer on the other end, is that correct?
Yeah.
I heard that Fort Ann would possibly be interested through, I mean, granted, that's Rumorville, but I heard that.
I'm sure you have plenty of parents that would be interested, but it's
from school itself. Official at school, so that's what I was kind of wondering. Granted, the cost is, you know, if we're looking to do 50-50, that may scare off the school, but if they're sending five students, you know, I don't know, 50-50 really would be fair. I mean, we're trying to save our program. I mean, obviously, the taxpayers had voted $1.8 million or whatever to redo the field, they value the football program, and so.
We deal with Grandma, it was a good thing.
Well, we also had a list of questions that were asked that, you know, haven't been answered yet.
We've answered every question.
We answered every question.
Yep, and we're sent to every board member multiple times.
I just think it's a good.
Some of them can't be answered at this point until a merger.
Some of them could be, like how the, like what school's going to own the merger, what athletic director is going to have it.
We've answered those questions.
We have answered those.
They're answered very specifically.
Okay.
I think it's a good deal. Since their field's out, our field, I think that's a good move to keep the kids playing for both ends.
Do you think the program's going to fold in a single year?
I hate to see it. I hope not. They say it's good, but I hope not. But why take a chance and let them, so the kids do play? That's my only fear, you know.
So I think, Frank, I'm not trying to step out of line. I think the fear that causes any fear about that, or the concern that causes any fear, is that we have 23 returning players for next year, which sounds like an okay number. You got to have 16 to play, but out of those 23 that will come back, 9 will be freshmen. Making, obviously, only 14 of them upperclassmen to come back and play varsity football, a scary prediction with the number of schools that are coming down to the D's. Mm-hmm. And injuries, you know, that just happened. I think that that is the concern that like what Dick is trying to talk about. I'm not trying to put words in your mouth.
Nope.
About potentially, if you get to a case where could you put 16 able, real body kids that should be playing varsity football out there?
Right.
Like both offense.
Gives our kids a chance to play JV too. They should be on JV. We put kids on varsity. Some play there, but some should play JV first to play. I just think it's a good deal. I think we should. Personally, I'd make a motion we do merge and end it one way or another, either so we don't keep going on. If we're not merging, so Granville can move on. I mean, is that
yeah, Granville's gonna move on either way?
Yeah, Granville had the approval to find a partner. We are their first choice. So I, you know, I think logically it makes sense to give them a yes or a no.
Well, I'd like to make a motion we merge with Granville.
Do we have a second on the floor?
If we're going to take action, we have to have a second.
Yeah, we have to.
So I'll make a second.
Can we take action on something that's not on the agenda?
Yes.
Yeah.
So discussion.
I think there's a lot of logistical issues. I mean, you know, I'm probably coming from BOCES or whatever, but my students now are getting on the field 20 minutes to a half hour late. I know it's been said that they'll ride the BOCES bus back to Granville to practice there or whatever. But I've seen students just not play football because they chose BOCES over football. And, you know, I mean, if we prolong that school day and prolong that school day, I think you're killing a program, whether we merge with Granville or whoever. You know, I think next year is going to be tough for us regardless, because it's going to put more time on the end of the day, even if we do have to transport these kids to practice and wherever it happens to be, Fairhaven or whatever. I think it takes a lot of dedication out of these kids to do that, and the
sure,
dedication really isn't there with this. With
you're
these
absolutely
kids,
you're
100% you know,
accurate. We're extending the day.
Extending next year.
You know, whether we merge or not, we're
right. Right.
We could have a potential issue because of the absence of field next year.
Mm-hmm.
The practice field is still to be available, correct?
That's in all likelihood going to be staging. All throughout the field on the side of the elementary school and out here for the building project that's occurring for all the windows and materials. So, they won't stage in front of the building, and they can't stage on the
right
side by the 7th-8th grade wing because the septic and stuff are out there.
So we'll be using we got the field at the rec center, right?
Yeah.
There's still a field at
the
rec center.
The field at the rec center is, they could probably
right
practice there, but it's not a full-size field.
Mm-hmm.
Are we going to run into competition there, though, with the peewee
yes
football
yep
for practice?
Yeah, we would definitely have issue.
Which is, again, is going to happen either way.
Yeah.
This, at least this next year.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, the field isn't a reason, though, because we knew that was going to happen.
Mm-hmm. So, if you're, to your point, Chris, if it's going to discourage kids this next year, or, you know, at least you're going to have to need kids who are really dedicated to the program, is that going to help them seeing a year down the road that the program is definitely still going to be in existence because of Granville? Or it's in jeopardy because maybe we have the field back, but maybe we don't qualify because we don't have enough kids.
Well, that, you know, that's my point. I think we're in for a tough row to hoe regardless of what we do.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not advocating one way or the other. I'm
sure.
Just putting it out there as food for thought. You know? I mean, you've got kids that it takes, you know, these kids are trying to work after school to pay for $100 a month cell phones as it is, and, you know, they're real world problems. And I think the trend, whether we're rebuilding a field or not, the trend is to go away from high school sports. And we need to do whatever we can do to foster that to keep these kids going. So if there's, I'm open for, exploring any ideas possible.
Any other comments or questions? Because we do have the motion on the floor.
Can you send me that email again at some point?
I sent it not very long ago.
I know I have it. Yeah, I just went through it again. The only thing I have is the classification numbers. I've gotten that a couple times.
There was another pretty lengthy email of all the questions that were asked by each board member and the responses.
There were some questions floated, and they may have been answered. I don't know. There were some questions floated. I feel bad doing this without Carrie and without Hope here, honestly. But I seem to remember conversations with both of them about, you know, once we get into this, how do we get out, things like that.
The mergers are voted on a year-to-year basis.
Annually?
Yeah.
So we could choose to do that this year and then get out of it next year.
Yep. So if you're in a merger and we're finding, you know, that the community is not supportive, that the board is not supportive, it's just not working, the board has the option to step away from a merger at the end of the season.
Because there's a couple schools doing that, we're doing it next year. If they're a merger with the school, they won't be with them next year.
You feel that we've thoroughly explored other options, other schools.
They have decided they're going to do
feel that
year.
That's been.
They are going to do
that. I feel that given the conversations that we've had, really the only formal conversations that we have had have really been the Granville discussion. I've had informal conversations with two superintendents from smaller regional schools that, you know, without checking with their board or anyone else, mm-hmm. basically said that's not going to work for us. And then I've had a very preliminary conversation with another school district that is exploring the possibility of a merger. But as I believe, you know, I've shared. You know, those explorations with that other school district come with some of the hurdles that we haven't, you know, yet been able to respond to. And, you know, the issue with Granville making a request now is, as you're aware, Section 2 has very specific timelines in which we need to, provide an answer.
Right. Yeah, so we can, it's not too late, because the last meeting they said it had to be decided
this
in November,
meeting.
So.
This meeting?
Yeah, we'd have to do it now.
Well, that's, I mean, I don't like to be rushed into decisions. I mean, there was a lot of questions that were kind of floated around there the last time, and we had to make a decision right then, and we decided we're not to do it, and now we're revisiting again.
So one of the things that happens, it's the regardless of the timeline, we would have to ask the Adirondack League members if this board voted to pursue it. We'd have to ask the Adirondack League members to vote to approve it as a league. Because you have to have league approval in order to send it to Section 2, and then Section 2 would have to get our application and approve that in January, and then the schedule is made for all of the section in February. So they're going to have preliminary discussions tomorrow, depending on the snow, or Wednesday, about which teams are in which classifications and who they believe is going to merge. Mm-hmm. So the schools that are merged, to the point that James asked earlier, are going to remerge for next year. And then there are two other schools that were scheduled to be a Class D, C or D school, two of them next year, that are also merging with two other similar sized districts that will cause another imbalance in those classification areas.
So they'll be even with – how many teams are you talking about now? Two or four?
They're – at least two other schools that will be merging with other schools before next year.
Okay, so
that we would have to play.
Going to merge. We're not going to have four schools.
To your Some schools do have four merch. You can merch for them. No, that one got moved up to the city. To answer your question about what you asked earlier about the taking on the smaller school, so we would be bigger than the school that you mentioned. We would take, the committee would take 30% of that other school district's beds number, combine that with ours. We'd be well under the number that would be a Class D cutoff next year. With that, given how much smaller we are, so there's some other D schools for next year that have roughly 150 more kids than we do. We could almost take 100% of someone else's smaller than us and still stay in the Class D.
So
because of the way that formula works out.
You don't think that, and I'm talking now, I guess, about a one-way merger. What I'm saying is if we go to Hartford and or Fort Ann and say, we're not asking you for soccer this year. We're saying we've got a football program. We want more kids to participate. We're welcoming you to join us. You think they're going to say no?
It would be dependent upon cost, you know, if there's going to be any cost associated, number one. But the bigger issue is, in at least in Hartford, they don't have their own Pee Wee football program.
Understood.
You know, so we have to look at the ability of the students that would be potentially putting on a varsity field having never played JV.
Maybe
so,
they play JV.
So, right. But again, what we need and our purpose for the merger is really varsity athletes. So it's certainly a conversation I'm happy to have formally, but you know, we're kind of in a pickle as far as the timeline.
The other concern I have is, and Chris touched on this earlier, this came really about in the 11th hour. I mean, it's been a few months we've been talking about it, but it came on late. I think that we owe it to our coaches in the district and our students who are playing in the district to do some recruiting on their own between now and next August to see where the numbers are. And if they don't come up and the program, if we have to fold for some reason for a year, then so be it. But I think we owe them
some kids though
an opportunity to get the numbers up.
You know, I'd love to see those numbers come up. I really would. I mean,
I would too.
You know, it's the difficulty is I believe that our student athletes and our coaches have been working to try to get more kids on that field, and it's been unsuccessful. Kids are just not playing the sport like they used to. So, you know, I guess the question that we need to answer is, are we trying to continue to breathe life into a sport that may not have the interest to keep it alive? I don't know. So what we're trying to do at this point, we know we've got a lot of kids that are playing youth right now. Our hope would be that they continue to play up through the years, but we've got to keep our program alive until those, you know, large numbers get up into the JV varsity level.
I mean, I really just like that we're looking at making a decision on this tonight, missing two board members, not on the agenda, and get thrown at the last minute.
I sent out an email. I didn't get a lot of responses, James.
I didn't see.
My brother vote tonight. We've been talking about it for 3 months.
I didn't see the answers. I just double checked twice.
Well, I mean, the issue that I have with it is, you know, we've rolled out a plan to put $1 million football field in, and if this was a trend that was going on, I mean, we should have kind of considered that before we put that out there too. I mean, I just can't believe that if this program is dying, why are we doing what we're doing? I mean, why are we spending $1 million on a football field and bleachers and all this stuff if this program is in fact dead?
We still need the track, you know.
I appreciate that, but I think it would have looked a whole lot different. The results of that election, if the people way off out there voting on track versus football.
Track soccer field if we can't do anything at all.
I think it would have looked a lot different. That's
so
all.
Again, you know, I personally agree with you, Frank. I think it makes sense to have a vote so we can at least get an answer. If it's no, it's no. We move forward. We continue to, you know, ask our coaches and our student athletes to recruit, and we hope that we're able to have a successful program next year. We continue to work at it and keep that program going until the large numbers that we've got playing at the youth level, you know, get up here to the junior, senior high school.
Any other questions? I'd like to ask a question of Chris. You said it would elongate the day for the students. if they're coming from both seasons?
Yeah, students currently, I mean, theoretically, you know, if you look at their schedule, you guys can talk to this, you guys play here. I mean, theoretically, they're back in time to get on the field, but we all know how many days are you on the field when the rest of the team gets out there, 5-10 minutes during calisthenics or whatever, you're late already every day, from what I understand. And I remember back when I played football, that was just the way it was. The BOCES kids came out after halfway through warm-ups or whatever. Now, you know, you guys are taking a situation where, and I'm not too old to remember that the highlight of your day is the BOCES bus ride back and forth or whatever, and the stuff that goes on there with your friends and stuff. And we're actually asking you, are you guys going to be comfortable getting on a bus with a bunch of kids you never met before and riding to Granville for the privilege of playing football, for the privilege of working hard physical work 2 or 3 hours a night to get ready for a football game? I mean, how much more can we ask our athletes to do? That's my point. You know, we should be trying to make it easier for you guys to play football, and it's unfortunate that we can't, but I think it's going to be pretty discouraging for these guys to have to do that. That's all.
I think I have to agree with Chris.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so we have a motion on the floor to merge with Granville. Correct?
Okay.
Am I correct in that?
Mm-hmm.
All in favor?
Like
aye.
That merge.
Aye.
Opposed?
Aye.
Aye.
You have that, Kevin?
Yeah, I got 2-5.
It's been going way too long.
It's good that
you
we
got to kill it one way or another.
It's good that we put a pin
right.
in it, and you know, again,
hopefully we'll work on something and get something going.
I mean, I'm not opposed to merger. It's just I think we need to really make sure we're doing our due diligence. So.
You're not going to set any records with the
meeting
time tonight.
Yeah,
oh, it's
bad.
It's
bad.
I don't know.
It may not be.
Roxanne can bang this together in 9 minutes.
That was a really good discussion, though.
You know, I think it was important that we had it. I mean, it's not, you know, it's not what I think you know, some were hoping for. But yeah, I think it's important that the conversation was had, at least it. You know, a discussion out there, we can provide a, you know, a formal answer.
Levon is correct, Rich, and I appreciate that. And I think I would just like to add that I would encourage you students and our coaches and our athletic director to, you know, recruit, see what we can do to keep the program going if we can. Okay? Awesome. So, board and staff reports, treasurer reports.
I would like to recommend the board take action to approve the reports listed.
Do we have a motion to approve the reports listed?
So moved.
Mrs. Norton, do I have a second?
Second.
Mr. LaChapelle, all in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Carried. Items requiring board action.
I would like to recommend the board take action to approve the board minutes of November 18, 2019.
And do we have a motion to approve board minutes?
So moved.
Mr. Barber, second?
Second.
Mr. Baker, all in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Carried.
I'd like to recommend the board take action to approve the CSE CPSE minutes of October 2nd and 23rd, November 5, 7, 8, 18, and 19 of 2019.
Do I have a motion to approve those minutes?
So moved.
Mrs. Norton, second?
Second.
Mr. Baker, all in favor?
Aye.
All right, can I ask a question?
Oh, yes,
I have one question on that. It's not really particular to these minutes, but we have districts that are obviously going out of the district, or students that are going out of district for services. Can we get an additional line item for each of these cases that gives us an indication what is required from a transportation standpoint?
Mean where they're going?
Yeah. Is there a special accommodation for transportation? Because obviously that drives expenses for the district.
Yes.
And right now we have no visibility of that.
That is something we can certainly pull together for the board.
Okay.
What we could do, you know, we realistically would provide that once, and then if there are transportation changes.
Mm-hmm.
Would that make sense, or do you want to see each?
I think every time that this is available, I'd like to see it.
Okay. So line item of location of travel?
Yeah.
Okay.
And how is it being provided? And is there an aid required for the bus?
Yep.
Any other discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Carried.
I would like to recommend the board take action to approve the audit and finance meeting minutes of November 18, 2019.
Do we have a motion to approve audit and finance minutes?
So moved.
Mr. LaChapelle, do we have a second?
Second.
Mr. Brooks, do we have any discussion? Sorry. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Carried. Thank you.
I'd like to recommend the board take action to approve discarding ballots from the December 16, 2019 capital project vote.
Do we
so
have a motion? Oh,
I'm
sorry. Mrs. Norton. So we have a motion. Do we have a second?
2018, Kate just whispered at.
2018. Do we have a second?
Second.
Mr. Baker. Any discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Carried. Corrective action plan.
As part of our audit last year, we received one comment in reference to our food services program being in arrears from what we had budgeted. As a result, we have put in a corrective action plan, which adds approximately $23,500 to the food service program, which now brings the food service offset up to $60,000.
Do we have a motion to approve?
So moved.
Mr. Barber, I think, in my right ear, and a second by Mrs. Norton. Any discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Carried. Trap shooting.
With great pleasure and enthusiasm, I recommend the board take action to approve our trap program for the 2019-2020 school year.
We have a motion to approve trap shooting.
So moved.
Mr. Dudley?
Second.
Second. I think Mr. Brooks was in before you.
Really?
Yes, I think so. No, I think so. Any discussion on that?
An alpha
boy. Any discussion on trap shooting? All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Carried. Resolution, disallowing solar or wind energy system or farm waste energy system.
We have on the agenda a resolution for taking a look at solar. I would recommend the board take action to take action on this agenda item.
Do we have a motion on the floor?
So moved.
Thank you. Do we have a second?
I'll second, yeah.
Second with Mr. Dudley. Any discussion?
I have discussion.
Okay.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
You want me to start?
Yeah, sure. Go ahead.
You said it first.
But so I'll send this around, but I apologize. I wasn't at the audit and finance meeting last month when this first came up, so this is the first conference I really want to talk about it. So what I looked at is basically I think what we're concerned with is that we've got parcels of property that are supporting solar installations. And the portion of the solar installations are not included in the taxable assessment. And I believe that's through an initiative that came down from the state of New York for their
pilot program,
carbon reduction program, or whatever you want to call it.
Yeah.
So I'm like, one of my questions that I had, and I took, and I'll send these around, I took a bunch of copies, and then, well, I can speak to this a little bit without dragging your meeting out.
Frank just doesn't want anybody running quicker meetings than me.
I know. I'm
going to make sure to make the right decision every time. You got enough? Do you want one, Kate? You probably should have one.
Sure.
I have three more, so.
So
this is, I looked at this probably from not, you know, a tax professional standpoint, but if you look at the top section, I've got, you know, land classification, the acres that are involved, the market value for just the land portion on all of the assessments, and then I just did simple math and calculated the value per acre. So I took eight parcels that are currently agricultural exempt, and then I took the three solar properties that are currently housing panels commercially in town. So those are RSF, which is this installation out on Buckley Road. Joe Terry has an installation on property he owns out by the Methodist Church. And the Millet farm has, it looks like, three parcels involved with their installation. So the average value per acre on the assessment for the truly agricultural land is about $1,150 per acre. And that's basically simple. The market value, how many acres are involved, simple math. So then I applied the same principle to the three solar properties, RSF, Terry, and Millet. And the average calculation there across those three properties is over $11,000 an acre. So I agree that they have an exemption on the installed equipment that is on the land. But we're absolutely enjoying a much higher assessment, basically 10 times what we would have if those parcels were, in essence, still strictly agricultural land. So that's one point that I want to make. The other point that I want to make is I think if we pass the resolution tonight, and if we do, I'll support that, but if we pass the resolution tonight, what you're doing in essence is you're taking the opportunity for all of the folks in town that own agricultural land to sell that for future solar development. And I don't think it's the right of the district to control their ability to do that through this resolution. And what I mean by that is if they have an opportunity to sell and the installation equipment itself is not exempt, there's not a solar company in the country that's going to want to build here. Because they can go to another town and not pay the tax. It's not included as part of the assessment. Not in all cases, but they still have that option.
What is the driving force behind wanting to do this?
Tax revenue.
Tax revenue.
But it'll only affect, it'll have nothing to do with the current.
Nothing to do with the current installation, just all
future projects. Yeah.
So it doesn't impact the folks that currently have solar on their property.
Right. It's all future, but when you talk about all future, if I'm a dairy farmer in Whitehall and I'm struggling to make a living, and I have an opportunity to sign a solar lease that's going to generate revenue for me and my family, that's not for the school board to control through a resolution. I agree.
My point is they still,
go ahead.
They still can opt to go with the solar. They're just not going to get those exemptions.
Right, which is
a resolution.
Right, which in essence,
if they don't pay tax, they're going to sell it.
Well, they're not going to do it here. They'll do it somewhere else.
Right.
The other piece that I was thinking on my point is that the ones that are existing at this point right now, anything could happen within that property, within that solar piece, meaning they could build a multi-million-dollar project there, and I think that we wouldn't see any of those facts helps either. Meaning, if, for instance, one of these farms that has the solar panels now, they could change those and still have that tax exemption as it is now.
They're
grandfathered in, but moving forward, I mean, so once they get in, then they could increase, add more panels, build more.
But what's grandfathered in is just the existing solar arrays, right? So if you were to add on to an existing solar field, that wouldn't be included under the grandfather, right?
Well, I think it would.
Without the exemption, any installations are going to be exempt.
Any current installation?
No, any future installations.
And that's until 2032. Am I correct?
2032.
The people that are already
in,
correct, mm-hmm. depending on when they put the solar farms in.
So how does the grandfather clause work then? It's by the owner or by
the parcel.
So the grandfather clause is, let's say you have solar panels at your home.
Yes.
Yeah,
so
the resolution tonight. Your grandfathered in, and yours would not be subject.
My existing one, but I have 50 acres that has a solar field on it right now that's grandfathered in. If I a year from now add another 50 acres, that second 50 acres wouldn't be grandfathered in.
No,
correct.
But
no.
Right. It would still be exempt if we don't pass the resolution today.
Correct. Yeah. Okay. I think we're all saying the same.
It's like stereo instructions.
It is.
Any other questions?
So I was thinking about this from a tax standpoint, and I looked up what the actual numbers are going to be for the federal tax credit for commercial. By 2022, it's going to be gone. So it's going to be down, it decreases every year. For 2019, it'll stay what it is, 30%, and then every year it's going to steadily decrease until 2022 when there will be no federal tax exemption. So I think the reality of a significant number of people selling off land to companies that want to do this, it's, the time's passed, in my opinion. I don't think you're going to see too many more projects on a big scale like that. Which, I mean, doesn't necessarily affect what we're talking about, but in terms of from a realistic standpoint of what's going to happen going forward.
I think it's poor practice for the school board to try and administrate what property owners can do with their property, period.
Yeah. And I guess at the end of the day, we're really, I mean, we're not doing that specifically, but by the simple fact that we're passing the resolution, we're indirectly doing that.
We're disincentivizing that.
Yeah. From a cause and effect standpoint, we are.
Yes, absolutely.
Any other discussion? So the vote is to pass the resolution, correct?
Yes.
That's what we have on the floor?
Yes.
Yes, so. All in favor? Aye. Opposed?
Aye.
Aye.
Okay. So that resolution will not move forward. Minimum wage resolution.
I would like to recommend the board take action to approve the required minimum wage resolution increase. We've already outlined this in our collective bargaining agreements, but it's good that we have the board approve increases anyway.
Okay. Do we have a motion to approve minimum wage resolution?
So moved.
So moved by Mr. Dudley, second. Mr. LaChapelle, all in favor?
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Carried. Legislative priorities, advocacy resolution.
I would like to recommend that they take action to approve the legislative priorities that are outlined by the 39 school districts in the BOCES region.
Do we have a motion to approve?
So moved.
Mrs. Norton, do we have a second?
Second.
Mr. Brooks, I believe, was our second.
Yeah, we'll give it to us. Go ahead.
We're going to put a Nest cam right in the middle.
I know. It's so quiet down there. Any discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Carried. BOCES Cooperative Purchasing.
I would like to recommend the board take action to continue to remain in the BOCES Cooperative Purchasing Program for next year.
Do we have a motion to stay in the program?
So moved.
Mr. Brooks, do we have a second?
Yeah,
thank you, Mr. Barber. Any discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Carried. Admission charge resolution.
One of the discussions we had last month in the audit and finance meeting, and we discussed it briefly during my comments last month, was to stop charging admission for winter sports programs. At this point, we would be able to reduce two ticket takers by doing this, and ultimately, we'd be looking at our overall revenue for basketball was about $34 a game, and wrestling was $26. So we'd only be looking at losing between $1,500 and $1,900 as a district, but it also offers a great deal of goodwill to the community to allow our community to come into our winter matches and see games. The other thing that we discussed was putting a donation jug out for each game and taking those donations from the community and providing those donations to a different charity each month. So we think this would offer a great deal of goodwill to the community. With that said, I'd like to recommend the board take action to approve that admission change.
Do we have a motion to approve?
So moved.
Mr. LaChapelle?
Second.
Mr. Brooks. Any discussion on that?
Was that the net revenues after you paid?
That was really bad.
How will we, the only other question, just because I'm curious, is how will we determine what charity is going to benefit from the fundraising?
You know, I'd like to let the student athletes decide, you know, to be able to pick a, you know, I'd like the charities to be local charities that helps.
I would like to see that as well.
But I think it'd be good to let our student athletes and our student body here make those decisions.
Good idea.
That's a community.
Good idea.
I think it's a good idea.
Jeff, that's on
you. You might not get to pick personally.
The human fund, right?
All in favor?
I will rock paper scissors.
Post. Carried.
I'd like to recommend the board take action to approve the budget calendar that is approved on a yearly basis. We model our calendar on the requirements by the state of New York for timelines for sharing the budget information.
Do we have a motion for the calendar?
So moved.
Mrs. Norton, do we have a second?
Second.
Oh, Mr. Barber. Any discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Carried. Appointments. We're down to appointments.
We're down to appointments. We're almost there. I would like to recommend Mickey Covey to a 26-week probationary appointment as a teacher bus aide.
You all
All right.
Do you have a problem with doing them together?
Yep.
Let's do them together.
I'd also like to recommend Christina Van Horek to the position of substitute teacher aide bus aide. Deneen McLeod as our claims auditor. She was appointed last month as an assistant claims auditor. And that's it.
We have a motion to approve these appointments.
So moved.
Mrs. Norton, do we have a second?
Second.
Mr. Brooks. Any discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Carried. Leaves of absence.
First, I'd like to recommend the board take action to approve Kay Ravelli's extension through the end of this school year for personal reasons. I'd like to recommend Andrea Mistretta's leave from on or about December 17 to January 29.
Well, that should say 2020, Mr. D. I apologize.
Of 2020, that's true. We can't give a leave in reverse. And lastly, Rose Kobor from on around January 20th to March 2nd for maternity leave.
Do we have a motion to approve those leaves?
So moved.
Mr. Barber, second.
Second.
Mr. Dudley, any discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Carried. Okay. We're down to public comments, visitors' comments. Does anyone have any comments? Yes.
So, for not bringing up the football stuff, but me being a football player and going to Bosky's, I think that the most important thing probably for keeping the program alive is probably to have a spot very close.
For practices.
You mean logistically for practices?
And then games, you can't have every game breaking the neighborhood.
Mm-hmm.
I understand that. But to keep the program alive, I know from a personal standpoint that it's hard to get on a bus and then come back to Whitehall, stay here for a half hour, and go somewhere else.
So would your preference be to practice here, if you had a choice?
Yeah.
Okay. That's good to know.
Yeah.
If it's something we can pull off, mm-hmm. it'd be best to be able to practice here.
Mm-hmm.
So it's something we'll be working with the contractors and finding out what we're going to have for space and how we can pull it off. For practice, because I agree, to travel to get back here, just to travel back in a potential another direction is definitely a headache.
Any other comments? Thank you, Nate. We do appreciate that. We appreciate hearing from you.
Can I ask a question?
I was wondering
how we're doing at the building level with regards to substitute teachers. Are we getting the substitutes that we need? No, it's just a general question.
Oh, okay.
So I have kind of an adopt a spouse kind of day going on. I got four faculty members that have gotten their spouses to enroll, become substitute teachers. So that has helped me tremendously. I've got four faculty members who their husbands or wives are coming and subbing for us that has helped
sign
me.
Sign up through BOCES.
They sign up through BOCES and get certified.
Is it?
It's like bring your spouse to work day.
It works.
You think we're getting what we need?
No, but we're getting closer. I mean, the elementary school was a sketchy, sketch can.
I have almost no one take a half day. If a teacher puts in for a half day sub, trying to, you know, save time and be in their classroom for as long as they can, I get almost no one who will take a half day. And I'm not blessed in the same way that Mr. Keller is. My teacher's spouses must all do something else still full time because they're not signing up to sub. and it's sometimes an issue.
And what we've done, we've reached out to the teacher prep schools to both, you know, to Castleton and St. Joseph's, and we've asked, please send us your entire, your poor, your week.
Mm-hmm.
You know, send us whoever you have that are out there and they're certified and, you know, would like to sub. And, you know, it's just we're all struggling. Everybody in that kind of corner.
I was going to ask, do you see that with the other districts in the area as well?
Yeah,
it's Washington County is really struggling. Until you get down, you know, Cambridge, Greenwich is doing okay, but, you know, you look at Salem, you look at Hartford, you look at, you know, Fort Edward, you know, up, it's, we're all struggling.
We can call. We have a couple of people in the area that will just call. Be like, hey, did you see the vacancy? And they're almost always working somewhere else.
It's just closer to where they are.
So,
Frank, we can have substitutes. They could, like, if we put on ASAP for the system that we need a sub for Jeff Keller for tomorrow because I'm taking the day off. So we may have a sub sign up tonight for that. And then if they get a call from another district, they can go back and refute ours because it's closer and they get paid more. So what happens to us, sometimes when we leave the high school office in the afternoon, we think we have all of our sub positions filled and it shows on the computer that they've been taken, only to get back in the next morning at 6:45 or 7 o'clock to find out we need three people and there's nothing I can do.
The big population lives in South Glens Falls, Queensbury area.
Mm-hmm.
So that's where we're drawing most of our subs from. And, you know, as Jeff just said, you know, we'll have teacher A from Queensbury say, yeah, they're going to commit to us, you know, for, you know, $105. And then something opens in Glens Falls for $115 or $110. They're going to go to Glens Falls before they're going to drive 40 minutes here.
And they can do that and drop after they've committed.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's pretty loud.
Yeah.
I mean, do you think, is it time for you to maybe come back to us in January with an analysis like where are the other districts at? Maybe we've got to bump up the subpay again.
I have all that information.
Okay.
Our subpay is, we are one of the districts that doesn't belong to, it's called SASTA. And we're fortunate that we don't belong to SASTA. It's basically a union that BOCES kind of put together for school districts to pull subs from. So we kind of we can set our own rates, our own times, where the SAS contract is really, really tied in. So we're not caught up in that mess. So we have the ability to drop the hat to change our pay. We're not substantially lower than other districts. We're about, you know, $10 maybe lower. Our issue realistically is the population of teachers that are putting them around here. That's what's getting us.
It'd have to be $50 higher for someone to not.
To make the choice.
In order for us to do that, our sub costs would be astronomical.
And what's our price to not have a sub?
$25 per period covered.
Assuming you can cover it.
At the high school,
we get them all covered.
Teachers always.
We're fortunate. We don't have, the way the schedule works, the challenges that Judy would have at the elementary are astronomically worse. Because we do period by periods, and so teachers have designated prep periods, so we have a master list, obviously, from my schedule in the office, where every period, if I need coverage, I know who's available that period that we can call on, and they sign up. It's just, it's not apples to apples between the two buildings. It's much more difficult.
I'm banging into intervention. I did ask, I don't cancel intervention any longer. I went two interventionists and they double up and cover each other. So if I pull one math, the other math is doubled up. If I pull one reading, the other reading is doubled up. Because some services are better than no services.
Yes, and those are some of our needy students.
Absolutely. But I can't put a scarecrow
right
in the room to monitor. And the rules about
that'd
who
be
can
cool
be on that sub. I mean, you got kids who are home for college with a couple of years. I mean, back
10 years ago, you could, you subs could be people with 2 years of college education. And so kids coming home from school could be on your sub list, and you'd get a month and a half out of a few people who could come in and run the place, you know, and help kind of hold the fort down. We just, they just changed the rules and kind of made it so stringent that it's hard to get people who are qualified to come in and do that. So
yet again, this is why being an elementary principal is much more difficult than being a high school principal.
Well said. Did anybody write that down? How did you get that?
We must start to spend on the substitutes, correct?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, is that some, could you come to the next meeting in January with just data on what if we spent on substitutes since the 1st of September?
We could break out the substitute cost versus the period-by-period cost of the high school.
Yeah, and what, I mean,
so, for instance, like if, so like Frank, if you were out today and you did not have a substitute and you had six classes, and so I had to pay six teachers to cover your six classes, you know, $625. That's what my daily cost would be if I didn't get a sub. You know, so you're talking about, you know, $150 versus $105 if I had a sub.
Okay.
You know, and what other school districts have done as well to kind of ameliorate some of these issues is they've hired TAs. Because with the TA, to cover a classroom with an aide, we have only two TAs in the district. The rest are all aides, so we can't flip-flop those folks into classrooms.
And I'm assuming that the TAs have a busy day.
That's who that we have.
So one is Mr. Gibo, and the other one is Mrs. Gagne.
Yeah.
Those are the two.
So obviously when they come to work during the day, they have a job.
They have something to do.
So. Yeah, I think I'd like to look at that if we could and see,
so
period, you know, what are the recommendations.
Period, comparing the two buildings?
I'll sit down.
I think just total sub spend. You know, what are we spending over some period of time, 3 months, 6 months? And, you know,
maybe
what does that number look like if we bump it up to, you know, 10% more, 15% more?
And we'll update the list of
what
people are paying.
Take action tonight.
A couple of years ago, didn't we, didn't we change the BOCES to our requirements?
We did.
And a couple of years ago, Frank, we did change with BOCES our requirements to try and allow us a bigger group of people potentially who could substitute. So we used to be a set of requirements that kind of restricted who could come here. I know Pat and I worked together on that, I think, 2 years ago to change that, to open us up to a bigger pool of candidates. And Pat hit it on the head earlier. Coming to Whitehall,
you know,
that's a haul.
We thought opening up over into Vermont would make a difference, but it really
it has not helped us at all.
Really?
Okay. Well, maybe we should publish what those requirements are right here in town. I know I've got three or four people. If I'm going to be absent, I'll call them personally and say, hey, can you come in on Tuesday or whatever it is? And it's just people that's the relationship that I have directly with those people. And I get them to cover me, you know, when I call ASAP, I put their PIN number in because I want them in my room. I don't want anybody else in my room. I don't want someone off that rotation.
But these guys all know Mr. Shulman, right?
Oh, yeah.
Right? So Mr. Shulman's one of our subs. We just tell him to come every day.
Yeah.
We're going to put him in the yearbook because he's here as much as anyone. We just tell him to come. Just show up tomorrow. We'll need you.
Okay.
He's the best. He's the one covering for Andrea for a month.
I missed last month, so I'm trying to make up.
I'm trying to catch up. So just closing comments, I want to wish everyone happy holidays, Merry Christmas. Thank everyone for their time. The board, thank our staff, our administration, everyone that's involved in keeping this big ship running. So thank you. Do we have a motion to adjourn?
So moved.
Mr. Brooks?
So
we have a second. Mr. Barber?
I was waiting for it.
All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Are you opposed?
No.
Okay, Carrie.
Philip.